Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News. Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. Stand up for your country. This is one of those broadcasts where a pen and paper will be handy. We're going to give you very important facts. And why do you want facts? Because in your life, you're going to be speaking with people about important things. And if you are armed and dangerous with facts, you will enjoy the conversation a lot more. So by far the worst failure of the Biden administration is the economy. What a mess, all right? Most every American is losing money. Some can afford to lose the money, some can't. It is Joe Biden's fault. It's not Congress, okay? It's not Putin, it's not COVID, it's Biden. But he will never admit that. So today, he tried to save himself by giving a 29-minute speech about inflation. We will go over it in a methodical and fair manner, and that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. So Biden was 30 minutes late, as usual, never on time. And the reason is that he's prepping, that he's reading the teleprompter behind the scenes. They change words for him that he can't say. So it takes longer for him to get it together. Today, as I just said, he spoke for 29 minutes. He took questions, but only on inflation. So no abortion questions, nothing else, just inflation. He has a very tough, persuasive road to go down, all right, because of the facts. So today, gas prices reached an all-time high in the United States of America, $4.37 on average, all-time high. I'm going to give you the stat under Trump in a minute. So this is up, the 437, about a 25 cents, a quarter, compared to a month ago. Just a month. Gas goes up 25 cents a gallon. Okay. Stock market, crazy, insane. All right, so the Dow Jones has decreased 12% since January 3rd, first trading day of the year. NASDAQ, 27%, a third down. Those are high tech stocks, things like that. Most Americans have investments in their retirement accounts. So we're all losing money. When you get your statement, you're going to cry. Now, my advice, and I'll say it again, don't panic, don't do anything, ride it out. Now, that advice may be bad. I hope it isn't, but I'm doing the same thing. I'm riding it out. I had stops. I lost a lot of my stocks. That's okay. Okay, but the ones that I have, I'm holding. I'm not going to panic sell. Now, this is going to be the key issue in November. Everybody knows that. I mean, people are crazed now about abortion and all January 6th. None of that's going to matter. Because people's lives depend on money. It's not just in the United States. That's all over the world. You have no money. You have no power. You can starve to death. You need money. Biden's taking money away from Americans. Trump added money to Americans. Now, I don't care whether you like Trump or not. I don't care what party you're in. That is true. Here are the facts. So, under Trump, inflation ran 1.4% in the 4 years. 1.4, that was nothing. Biden, 16 months, about 10% when you add in everything. So that's an astronomical jump. So today, Biden tried to explain it. Roll the tape.
But first, I want us to be crystal clear about the problem. There are two leading causes of inflation we're seeing today. The first cause of inflation is a once-in-a-century pandemic. And this year we have a second cause, Mr. Putin's war in Ukraine. We saw in March that 60% of inflation that month was due to price increases at the pump for gasoline.
Oh, Putin did it. Okay. Before Putin invaded Ukraine, under Biden, gas, the price of a gallon of gas had risen from $2.93 under Trump, last week of Trump, $2.93 when Trump left, to $3.75. Almost a 30% jump before Putin. Before. Why? Because Biden attacked the American energy industry. And the oil futures market, which sets the price of a barrel of oil, spiked right after that. They went, ooh, Americans are going to cut back on their oil production, so that means that the price of oil worldwide is going to go up. That's what happened. Now, Biden doesn't understand that. He doesn't know it. He just reads what they put in front of him. So the facts are, and I'll give them to you again, inflation under Trump, 1.4%, under Biden, 10%. Gasoline, $2.93, Trump left office. Before Putin, $3.75, now $4.37. So even if Putin was responsible, it's a little jump. The big jump came after Biden attacked the fossil fuel industry. Okay, we all have that? There's no dispute on these stats. Now, what's Biden going to do to bring inflation down? We'll take.
Americans have two potential paths forward. The first is my plan, the Democratic plan. Plan put forward by congressional Republicans is a second alternative. Here's how each of us would tackle inflation. My plan is to lower everyday costs for hardworking Americans and lower the deficit by asking large corporations and the wealthiest Americans to not engage in price gouging and to pay their fair share in taxes.
Okay, that's going to do nothing. Nothing. That's just foolish. You would flunk your economics class if you wrote that in a paper to your high school or college teacher. Okay, here's my plan. Lower employer, and then that doesn't make any sense. So he goes, and lower everyday costs for everyday costs for hardworking Americans. How? How? Doesn't say. And lower the deficit by asking large corporations and the wealthy Americans not to engage in price gouging. Well, wealthy Americans don't price gouge. They are just wealthy. And to pay their fair share in tax. That means Biden wants to raise taxes when we're on the edge of a recession. This is dangerous. This isn't just stupid. This is dangerous. So we're on the edge of a recession now. The only thing keeping us falling over the cliff, as we did under Bush the Younger, you'll remember, 2008, is that most Americans are working and earning money. Now, those wages are being eroded by inflation, but they have jobs, not mass layoffs, more jobs than workers. The only thing. So now Biden says, I want to raise taxes, fair share, that's the code, on corporations. So what happens when you raise taxes on corporations? They lay off people. Yeah, everybody knows that. Boom, over the cliff. So this guy Biden, he's dangerous. He's a danger to us, to our welfare. Now, the 80 million Americans who voted for him, most of them, of course, voting against Trump, if you don't know that now, if you can't figure out that you voted for a dangerous man, a man who's hurting you and your family, then you're either too dumb to understand anything or you're dishonest. There's no other third way. You're either too stupid to understand what's happening right now in the country economically, or you're dishonest. You think Putin is responsible for inflation and higher gas prices. I mean, I don't know anybody who thinks that. Okay, the last soundbite, and I knew this was going to happen. I told my staff, this is going to happen. When it happens, give me the soundbite. Roll it.
Do you support any restrictions on abortion, or what limits do you believe there should be?
I'm not going to because I want the story to be about inflation.
Not responding. Okay, now the question should have been, do you discourage protesters from camping out in front of the Supreme Court justices' homes? That's what the question should have been. Okay? Yes or no? But Biden's not going to answer those questions. But we know what he thinks because he has not discouraged people from camping out in front of the Supreme Justice's homes. All right, under Trump, I'm going to say it again, inflation was almost non-existent. The Dow Jones in the 4 years Trump was president increased 51%. Okay, the NASDAQ 125%. That was under Trump, the Trump economy, which worked for everybody. For the poorest of the poor, it worked. So that is it. There is no other issue in this country right now. That's it. Because when people get hurt, when their families are put in jeopardy because they don't have enough money to exist, they're going into debt. Whoever is in charge gets booted. And this is Biden's fault. All right, on the abortion front, there were some protests last night. As we said yesterday, protesting in front of a Supreme Court justice's home is against the U.S. Penal Code 1507. So Merrick Garland, the attorney general, should be out in a press conference saying that and saying, please don't do this. And if you do it, then FBI agents will arrest you. But that will never happen under the Biden administration. So in Justice Alito's home, about 100 people last night. This is in Alexandria, Virginia. No violence. They're just chanting abort the court. You know, there's no violence. They didn't do that. But Biden and Garland won't call them off, won't say that's not right. Don't do that. You want to protest? Protest outside the Washington Monument or wherever you want to do. Okay, but don't go to a private residence and do it. That's wrong. Now, that's not hard to say. Okay. U.S. Marshals, people don't understand the Marshals are the protective agency. The FBI are the arresting agency. So if you violate federal law, which is what this is, these abortion protests in front of the judges' homes, that's the FBI. It's not local police. Now, local police can detain, but that's a federal law. Do we all get this? So Garland hasn't even, as far as I know, alerted the FBI to any of this. We don't see them, and no arrests have been made. Chicago. So Mayor Lightfoot is saying to people around the Chicago area, they call it Chicagoland, to come to Chicago for abortions. So Mayor Lightfoot knows a lot about death since more than 4,000 people in Chicago have been murdered since 2016. 4,000 murdered in the streets. So Mayor knows a lot about death. You may be an expert in death. Okay, here's what she said, go.
If you look around Chicago, we've got a number of states that have the so-called trigger laws that would ban abortion upon the reversal of Roe. So we've seen a substantial increase already, and we're expecting, frankly, an explosion of new cases from women in Wisconsin, Missouri, potentially Michigan, Indiana.
None of those states are gonna ban abortion. So, I mean, she's just not telling the truth. And by the way, let me just go back to Biden for a minute. I mean, Lightfoot doesn't care about the truth. Biden believes what he says. You know, I mean, people go, oh, Biden's lying, 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 lying. If you look at it lying, you have to know it's not true and say it. Now, it's not an excuse for Biden. I'm not making an excuse. But he believes what he said today about, you know, oh, we're going to bring prices down by raising taxes and telling companies not to gouge. He believes it. He believes Putin caused inflation. He, Joe Biden, believes it. But that's frightening because he lives in a world of delusion. The leader of the United States is delusional. Okay. George Floyd protests. This is interesting. You know, we have a lot of protests now about Roe v. Wade. Okay. Well, you go back to May 25th, 2020, not that long ago, 2 years ago. Okay, and you had riots all over the United States objecting to the demise of George Floyd. In fact, 13,600 people were arrested in those coast-to-coast riots, 13,600. Well, what happened to those people? An organization called the Prosecution Project, all right, follows this. And this is based in George Mason University in Virginia. Okay? Now, I think the project's in D.C. So, out of the 13,600 arrested, charged, possible trial, 11. Charged, no trial, that means dismissal, 45. Guilty plea on a part of the rioters, 109. Found not guilty, 55. Total cases in the system, again, out of 13,600, 1,482, around 10%. Now, the people that were arrested, by and large, are the bad, bad, bad people, not the people who didn't throw bricks at the cops or set fires. These are the worst. The worst. All right? The 13,600 that they actually arrested and booked and took in, because the cop has to write a report to justify taking a person down and giving it to the district attorney. He's got to write the report. He's not going to say, well, I saw some guy who was just had a sign, I arrested him. No. So less than 10% of the worst were adjudicated. Is that amazing? Okay. Town by town. Portland, Oregon, arrested 1,100, prosecuted 165. Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, more than 3,000. All right, arrested, prosecuted about 2,000. That's not a bad record. New York City, 5,000 arrested. The city will not say how many were prosecuted. However, in Manhattan, the DA dropped 64% of the cases, and in Brooklyn, 83% of the serious cases were dismissed. San Francisco, 127 protesters arrested in the George Floyd riots, zero prosecuted, no one. Houston, 796 arrested, 194 prosecuted. LA, more than 3,000 arrested, 210 prosecuted, about 5%. Minneapolis, 800 arrested, 95% dismissed. How about that? Is that justice? Joining us now from Washington, D.C., Julio Rosas. He is the author of a new book, which I read and I recommend, called Fiery But Mostly Peaceful. That's a kind of sarcastic title. The 2020 Riots and the Gaslighting of America. It came out May 3rd, the same time Killing the Killers came out. And I hope you buy both books. All right, Julio, I gave the stats to the folks. You don't quibble with any of those stats, do you?
No, I certainly do not.
Okay. So based on your eyewitness reporting, because you were in these riots, many of them, what were the worst situations that you saw?
Well, probably the worst place was Minneapolis, was at the start of everything, because just the country was just really unprepared, because, you know, before everything was centered around COVID and the emergency response to that. So Minneapolis, in terms of scale, in terms of people who participated in the riots, in my opinion, what it was that I personally covered, it was the worst. I mean, yeah, we have these stats about people who were arrested, and don't get me wrong, obviously a lot of people were, but I can just tell you that it doesn't really reflect just really how many people were partaking in this. I mean, just looting, vandalism, even worse, you know, destruction, probably setting things on fire. I mean, we're talking about thousands of people in just one city, like Minneapolis. And in that case, it's technically like two cities, with with St. Paul being right next door, which also experienced some pretty extensive damage as well. So it's a pretty damning indictment on our justice system, and you have to also think about kind of how what we're seeing today, right? I mean,
Let's stay with Minneapolis for a minute. Did the police in Minneapolis, when you were there and watching, did they do their job or did they stand down?
They tried to the best of their ability, but and when I got onto the ground on that first Thursday outside the third precinct, which was the night when they were ordered to evacuate and it was eventually set on fire, but prior to that, they didn't have the manpower to stop just the lawlessness that was happening. I mean, right across the street, there was a whole stores and businesses like a Target and a grocery store, along with several other ones. that were just being looted throughout the entire day, and the police.
And you say the cops didn't have enough people to stop it. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if they wanted.
Because they were primarily focused on protecting the third precinct because.
Because they burned down that precinct. They failed in protecting it. That precinct was burned to the ground. So I see it a little bit differently than you do. And remember, you have more credibility than I have because you were there and I was not there. But I don't think that the mayors of these towns wanted a strict enforcement of the anti-rioting laws. And I think that message was, the cops picked that message up. Now, you were also in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where the infamous Rittenhouse case took, that's where that was. What did you see there?
So with specifically the Rittenhouse case, I mean, well, first off, I mean, the context is that this happened in a riot. I mean, mainstream media has just consistently labeled the Rittenhouse shootings taking place during a protest, which is not the case at all. I mean, the rioters were attacking the county courthouse for a third night in a row. They were attacking the National Guardsmen. It wasn't just police anymore. They were attacking National Guardsmen. And so naturally, in response to that, the law enforcement pushed them away from the courthouse. The problem is, and again, this kind of goes back to manpower, they pushed the rioters away from the courthouse towards the people who were protecting private property from further damage because in the previous days, when they couldn't get close to the courthouse, they then decided to destroy other things that were unprotected. And so with the Rittenhouse case specifically, it's just, I mean, it just creates, when we have this power vacuum that's created in these, you know, very chaotic incidents, you're going to get examples like how Rittenhouse.
Okay. So I think it's safe to say that there was very little planning, that the police were not supported by the politicians by and large. Certainly in New York City here, the politicians didn't want to prosecute any of the looters, any of the people who hurt police officers and civilians. Cy Vance was the attorney general, was the district attorney, I should say, in New York City. He had no interest in prosecuting anyone. And San Francisco, LA, Chicago was the same way. Then you write a little bit about the Capitol situation, where there was a much more robust response to those who violated the Capitol, broke in, and created mayhem there, correct?
Yes. And that's kind of what makes January 6th so frustrating. Having covered, you know, both the 2020 riots and January 6th, is that, you know, again, that was a riot, and people did do bad things. But when you look at kind of how hard the hammer came down on people who weren't even accused of rioting or being violent, they still got the book thrown at them pretty hard. And then you contrast that to like the Portland federal courthouse and the month-long siege that took place. I mean, there were people who were accused of attacking police officers, and they had their cases dismissed. And so, really, when it comes to violence begets violence, and it just creates this cycle that we're kind of in right now. And that's why there's concern with leftist reaction if Roe versus Wade is overturned. There's a good chance that they can go back to their previous playbook because they were able to get away with so much for so long.
Possible. I'm hoping not. We're not seeing that level of violence as we saw with the Floyd situation. There is a difference, though, in Minneapolis and Kenosha, Wisconsin, and New York City and San Francisco. These are local crimes. All right. So they're adjudicated on the local level. In the Capitol, that is a federal crime. And it's much more serious to violate federal law than state law. It sounds hollow, because if you kill a person in a state or you kill a federal official, they're both dead. But the federal apparatus is much tougher than the state apparatus, particularly in a liberal place like Portland, Oregon, which doesn't really care about enforcing the law. Did you factor that into your analysis of January 6th vis-a-vis George Floyd?
You know, absolutely. And as I say in the book, like, it's not surprising that the people who did break into the Capitol had the hammer kind of brought down on them. But the issue is that when we're talking about whether or not, what is justice and what is just, well, you would think that the DOJ would look at, especially again, and that's why I point to the federal courthouse in Portland, because that was federal property. And yeah, granted, a federal courthouse is not on the same level in terms of significance as the Capitol building. But when we're talking about consequences, you know, my opinion, anybody, you know, it doesn't matter what their cause is or, you know, what their side is. But when you go out and commit criminal acts, especially to people who had nothing to do with whatever outrage was being caused, you know, they should be held accountable to that fact. I can personally attest to that. A friend of mine who was a freelance photographer, he got swept up and the FBI is going after him, even though he didn't commit any crimes at all. He was in
the Capitol building taking pictures, I assume.
No, he was outside. He never went inside.
So he was outside. The FBI arrested him outside.
This was months after the fact.
Okay. You got caught up on surveillance, I'm sure. All right, Julio, the book is fiery, but mostly peaceful. And if you want to know what the inside stuff is on the George Floyd riots, that is the book. We appreciate your time very much. So there is a lawsuit filed by the state of Florida. Attorney General Ashley Moody has sued the Biden administration. Didn't get a lot of publicity. And basically the lawsuit is that the Biden administration is allowing the release of illegal migrants into the United States, and that's a violation of federal law. Okay? So the Biden administration filed for dismissal of the lawsuit. And yesterday, Judge Kent Wetherill II, appointed by Trump, denied it. And here's what the judge said. Put it up on the screen. Quote, clearly and unambiguously, the laws state that aliens arriving at the border shall be detained, not that they may be detained, and that the cited provisions of 1225 expressly require aliens to be detained until removal proceedings have concluded, and that does not authorize defendants to circumvent the mandatory detention requirement as it is allegedly doing through the challenge policies. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So the Biden administration says, we don't really care that the federal law at the border says you have to detain until the asylum claim or whatever is ruled on. We don't care. We're going to bus them or fly them into wherever they want to go in the United States. Direct violation of the law. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because if this lawsuit is successful by the state of Florida, which it may be, that's grounds for impeachment on Joe Biden. Just this. Now just keep your eye on it. Nobody else reporting it. No Spin News is unique.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, Penske Truck Leasing. So you want to move and you want to pay a big mover to come in, you throw all your gear in Penske. So Penske has listed the top cities where Americans are moving to based upon the rental data. Top city, number one, Houston. I'm surprised. You know, Houston, you got some problems down there. It's a little hot and humid. Nice town. I was there in December. But, I don't know. Vegas. Yeah, a lot of opportunity in Vegas. Phoenix, Sun Belt down there. Charlotte, North Carolina, hot, hot, hot town. Not climate-wise, it's a little warm in the summer, but Charlotte real estate market's smoke. Denver, San Antonio, Dallas. So people want to go to Texas, obviously. Orlando, Florida, Austin, Texas, third Texas city. Chicago, surprise. Must be the suburbs of Chicago. I mean, I don't think people are clamoring to go downtown. All those social problems. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. And here is a study from the University of Bath in England. Okay? So I've been to Bath. And the reason to go to Bath is you got Roman ruins there. Okay? The Romans had a big encampment in Bath. Nice town. It's west of London. Anyway, the university studied 154 people between the ages of 18 and 72 who used social media a lot daily. Okay? And the conclusion was, if you don't go on social media for a week, 1 week, then everything in your life gets better. Okay? So you have an improved mood, less anxiety, bigger appetite, I guess, and no depression, and it's better. So if you're a big social media user and you go cold turkey for a week and don't use it, everything in your life goes up. Isn't that interesting? Okay, this day in history, May 10, 1773, the Tea Act. Now, you're saying, O'Reilly, why are you boring me with the Tea Act of 1773? Because your freedom that you have right now stems directly to the Tea Act. Okay, you wouldn't have the freedom you have now without it. So this was another foolish thing by King George, who ruled the colonies. So King George gave the British East India Company a monopoly on tea. Everybody drank tea because it was cheap. No, coffee wasn't big back then. No Starbucks in Massachusetts Bay Colony. Tea. And it was cheap and everybody drank it, both in England and in the colonies. So now one company has control of all the tea, means they raise the prices. It's a monopoly. Now, the king, I'm sure, got a big kickback from the British East India Company, which is why he did it. Money, always money. Anyway, the colonists didn't like this at all. They had to pay more money for tea. The price on tea went up and the tax on it. So the Boston Tea Party happened. I'm not going to go into that. If you don't know that, I can't help you. But the colonists dressed up like Native Americans. They went into Boston Harbor. They dumped half. What was the thing I used on radio? The stat is unbelievable. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in today's money worth of tea. Three ships. Boom. All the tea ruined. Oh, King didn't like that at all. So he passed all kinds of other taxes. And then the Sons of Liberty, which were the ones who did the Boston Tea Party, started organizing the rebellion. And the rest, as they say, is history. Now, here's something you don't know. Benjamin Franklin and George Washington, back in 1773, condemned the Boston Tea Party. Franklin thought it was boorish. He didn't like the Sons of Liberty anyway. He thought they were way too crude. And Washington, I'm not really sure why he criticized the Boston Tea Party. He wised up about 2 years later, but Franklin and Washington were not on board with the Boston Tea Party. See how much you learn here watching us? Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We have a final thought about social media and you and social media. And we're coming back with Mail in a moment.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, let's go to the mail. Wayne Concierge Member, and I hope you all will check out BillO'Reilly.com Premium and Concierge Membership for Father's Day and for yourself. So Wayne has direct access to me, but he posted this on the message board. If we are no longer a noble nation, it is because we lack noble leaders. Some truth to that, Wayne. But it also the nobility of our nation has been corrupted by the corporate media. I can't tell you how that powerful media has changed everything in this country. And I saw it firsthand. Larry, I want every protester who invaded a Supreme Court justice's property, who invaded and violated the federal law, to be arrested and jailed in the same prison as the January 6th illegal assailants. It's not the same. It's just not. The Capitol intrusion so far is a lot worse than these people holding signs outside Alito's house. You got to keep the crime in perspective. Now, if somebody were to break into Alito's house or throw something or burn, yes, then it'd be the same, but not yet. George, concierge member, since protesting outside a judge's home is clearly a crime, who has ordered the police to stand down and do nothing while the neighbors go nuts. Again, it's not a local police situation. They are there to keep order, and I assume the police in Alexandria, Virginia, are keeping order as best they can. And I guess they could detain and wait for the FBI to come and arrest, but they're never going to do that. They're just not going to do it. It's the way age we live in, the country we live in. Jack Oaks, Hillsborough, North Carolina, I fear the abortion issue has long legs and will influence the November election by creating a rally cry for Democrats. Okay, Jack, I disagree with you. I think it's all about the economy, but you may be right. We'll see. Barbara Williams, Lake Oswego, Oregon. Why are Democrat candidates for the primary saying they will fight the Republicans wanting to end Social Security? Because this is more propaganda. So Senator Scott from Florida proposed a law which will never pass in a million years. Republicans aren't backing it. That every 5 years, all the entitlements, including Social Security, be looked at, reevaluated. That's one guy, Senator Scott from Florida. McConnell just said, no way we're doing it. It's not going to happen. But the Democrats, they don't care about any of that. It's just propaganda. Boom. Oh, they're going to take away the Social Security. Paul Bailey, Kiaha, Hawaii. Why do you see a viable candidate? Who do you see? Why can't I read today? Who do you see as a viable candidate for president besides Trump in 2024? Well, obviously, DeSantis in Florida would be the front runner. All the polls show that. That's not a genius analysis. I think Senator Tim Scott in South Carolina would be viable. I think there are a number of Republican governors who would give it a go if Trump doesn't. But if Trump wants to run, I don't think anybody, including DeSantis, is going to primary him. Dale Benzine, Alpharetta, Georgia. At what point do you see the U.S. people saying enough to the financial support of Ukraine? I don't think so. I think most Americans want Putin to get his butt kicked, and if we can help, we'll help. Tim Ferrante, Keyport, New Jersey. Mr. O'Reilly, Killing Killers is a riveting read and a stunning achievement. Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. Please tell us your writing process with Martin Dugard. Dugard does the research, all right? It takes us about a year to write a killing book. So I outline a book. I pick the title. I pick the subject. I outline a book. I give it to Marty. I say we need to know XYZ, XYZ. We go chapter by chapter. His research comes into me in narrative form. I shape it into the stories that you see, and that's how it goes. Very disciplined operation. Killing the Killer's 11th book, most successful nonfiction book series of all time. And we hope you check out Killing the Killer's. You will like the book, and it's an important book. Okay, at 9 p.m. this evening, 9 p.m. Some of you are listening to me on the radio at 9 p.m. I understand that. But if you are a premium member and a concierge member to BillO'Reilly.com, we have an exclusive town hall for you. 9 Eastern time tonight. I will answer questions about Killing the Killers and anything else. We got a whole bunch of great questions already, really good questions. And we'll have fun. It's a fun town hall meeting tonight, 9 Eastern time. Word of the day, do not be sardonic when writing to me. Bill@BillO'Reilly.com. Bill@BillO'Reilly.com. Name and town if you wish to opine. Back with the final thought about you and social media in a moment.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So final thought of the day, I get thousands of letters from all over the world, and I read as many as I can, which is, I'd say, 50%. You know, when they come in, we have screeners, so if you're cursing at me, or I'm like, that just gets thrown away. But the good, intelligent letters get to me, all of them. But what I'm seeing is a lot of conspiracy stuff, okay? And it's starting to bother me. So Dan, who lives in the Villages in Florida, Villages is a big O'Reilly territory. He writes me, and let me read you this letter. Bill, do you think that it's possible the Mexican cartels are paying the Democratic Party in return for the Biden administration keeping the southern border open? No, that's impossible. That would never happen. That's crazy conspiracy that a criminal enterprise that sells narcotics would pay one of the two major political parties in America to keep the border open. So I know this stuff floats around on the internet all the time. These conspiracy things, I get them at least 5 to 10 a day. The most insane. Now, I'm not mocking Dan. I don't do that, but think about it. How crazy that is. Now, these websites, they don't care how crazy. All they want is clicks. So they're going to put up all these misleading headlines. I see it every day in my research. They mislead you so that you click in. And they can tell the advertiser, we have this many people. But it's a lie. And once you see something that's outlandish, don't go to that place anymore. You know, life's too short for that. There are honest websites like BillO'Reilly.com. It's honest. We never do that. Everything has to be backed up by facts. We don't do conspiracies here. You know, I wrote Killing Kennedy. The biggest conspiracy in modern times was that everybody shot JFK except Oswald. And I debunked every one of them with FBI documents, with local police documents, document. All that Kennedy conspiracy stuff was just bull. Okay? That's the biggest. But every day I see conspiracies. Don't get caught up in that. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you tomorrow.